We shared together a bit ago in the Gospel of John, and we should preface that by saying and reminding you that in the day when God created Adam and Eve, and thereafter, all the way down through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God made his wonderful personal presence known. No words, no Bible. Just God. And God dealt with the people. He dealt with them directly in the Genesis flood, Genesis 6. He dealt with them individually, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Job. God dealt with them. Now, then God gave his word by way of Moses, and he made his presence known to the people that sought him, so that the people would know God. The tent was in the middle, the tabernacle in the middle of the camp of Israel. The Shekinah glory went up from the Holy of Holies, a cloud by day and fire by night. God made his presence known. Now, God has done that. God also, in the process, made a continued promise and a prediction that he would make himself even more visible and clear. And so from Genesis 3:15, way back, first promise, that he was going to go and the seed of the woman would come, and by way of the Virgin Mary, the Lord Jesus Christ would be born, and thus God would make himself known in a wonderful way. The sovereign, saving sufficiency of God would be made known. Now, here in John chapter 1, John is the last penman God is going to use to write. When he's done with John's finished, there is no more writing. Don't add it, don't subtract. God's all done in saying what he's going to say. Now, so John's assignment, the last living apostle, as you know, John's assignment up there just before 100 A.D., God is going to go and make it very clear so that you and I can capitalize on all of history. Here's history, and here's Moses, and here's Peter, James, and John, and the apostles. God says, now, I'm going to put it all together for you so you can understand. So in John chapter 1, it's the fourth gospel. There's three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This is the fourth gospel, marked differently, distinctly different. It's all about his person. His works and words are there. But it isn't about that like in the synoptic gospels, all moving together to give you an understanding of his life and his ministry, and especially the last days of his life. No, this isn't about that. It's about who he is. Who is it that all of this was given? Synoptics in the Old Testament, and they had the Old Testament, and the Lord approved of the Old Testament. So if you're sitting there and you're wondering, God said, it's my word. So good enough for me. I don't have to talk about it. God honored it. God honors it. I don't care what anyone says. I'm done with it. Now, so in John chapter 1, verse 1, he's going to tell us about God. God is going to express himself in his Son, which he has done. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea, died on Calvary's cross, and thus ascended to the right hand of God, is seated at the right hand of God, now in his perfect resurrected humanity. Now, what do we need to know? John 1, Gospel of John 1, 1. Three things are stated. Very concise, straight to the point. You know, and God doesn't discuss things with us. God says things. Truth doesn't, remember, your belief, your understanding does not make something true. It's either true or it isn't. Whether you understand it, believe it, don't like it, immaterial. Truth is truth. If you use it wisely, you benefit. If you disregard it, you lose the benefits of it. Thus, John 1:1, three things. In the beginning, at the very entrance into something, God, in the very beginning of all creation, of all that exists, in the beginning was the Word. First thing was the Word. The Word exists, to exist, the state and condition of a state or condition of a person. Was the Word, was continually, always was, in the past and continues to be, was God. In the beginning was the Word. And secondly, what about the Word? And the Word was with God, was, and the was in each case is imperfect. It means it's continuously happened in the past and continues. Keeps right on going. Was. In the beginning was the Word. Secondly, the Word was with, remember we looked at it, face to face, little preposition, face to face, person to person, face to face. The Word was with God, face to face. The Word was with God, face to face. Thirdly, the Word was God. Not only was the Word face to face, the Word was God. And thus, bringing that together, the Word was, became God, not became God, became, the Word became flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 2, the same, John 1, 2, the same, the Word the same. You may want to translate that, this one, the same one who was the Word was with God face to face, the Word was God, this one, the same one, the same was, there's your word, was, in the beginning, with God, face to face with God. Verse 3, all things were made, created, brought into existence. All things were made by, He was the agent, He was the instrument, He was the means. Why did it happen? By Him. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Nothing came, not even one, little word, not, how many? Not even one thing existed. Not one thing exists apart from Him. It came into, He is the one and only Creator. And thus all else, all anything, anywhere, anyhow, all things are His creation. And thus the Word of God, the Word, God is sending His Word, giving us His Word. God has given us His written word. God has given us the Word become flesh. God said, I want you to, what was the purpose of the Bible? The Word of God is to get you to know who He is. All things that are written in the Word of God are about me. You want to read and understand? Read the Scripture and look for me. Look for me. When you read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, find me. I'm out working, giving you exposure to the infinite, invisible God. How could we possibly handle infinity? We can't. God, when you said, our Lord said it, Moses said it, you said it, no one can see you, no. But we can know you. Wow. Thus, God, we're able to go and look, and you're able to go and make yourself known. You did it in the written word, and now you made it so that you became flesh, a person. You made us persons. You didn't become a giraffe. You didn't become a goat. You became a person. Persons are different than animals and plants. They are made in the image and likeness of God. Persons were made to enjoy and honor and experience God. God, you came as a person. You came so that we'd know. Remember, we used the illustration. Here you created the ants, make believe, and the ants are all running around down there, and they're in chaos, the red ants with the black ants and the blue ants, and they're all fighting over a bug, and they're all down there. And you're trying to go. You have to use your imagination. And they're all down there, down below, and you're trying to tell them that you're there and you created them and that you have a solution for their existence and their purpose of being alive as ants. And you'd be, how can you do it? You say that the ants can't see you, the ants can't understand you. No, you became an ant. You become an ant, and down you go as a little ant. And the little ant is running around telling all the other ants. The other ants who are experienced ants and long standing ants, and they're telling the, and you're telling a little young ant, you're telling them about why you're God, that you're there to help them understand so that they could know you, and you became an ant so that they could understand. And the ants were so excited, they all turned around and called a big conference and said, come see God. Is that what they said? The little ants went and tried to eat you up. What did they do when God became a man? They crucified him. God said, I'm God. And humanity went after him, Jew and Gentile. Now, so in the light of that, the purpose of the Word becoming flesh, God being born in Bethlehem of Judea, is to expose his person by his name. His name, remember, a name is made for you. And if you are all alone in nowhere, you don't need a name. A name is only for other people to identify with you. That's all. So you don't need a name. You only need a name when you have people around you, you see. A name. God is going to give us his name, his word. God, would you explain yourself, expose yourself? John 1:18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, the inwards, he hath declared and revealed and explained him. God, you're going to help us understand what you are and what you're like. And you're going to give us an explanation and exposure in your Son. God, born in Bethlehem of Judea, crucified on Calvary's cross. You're going to expose us to you in a way that we can understand. In the person of Jesus Christ, the Word become flesh. That's right. Now, John's purpose, remember, is to do that. And when he writes, you don't have to turn there, if you were to read 1 John 1:1, and he will make a statement each time. The Word of life, he will say, the Word of life. And when you read Revelation 19, he will say, the Word of God. He's going to use the term each time to throw out. He's the one who, the penman who is going to bring out what is the whole purpose of the Gospels and the Book of Acts and the Old Testament. And God, would you put it together for us? It's all about you, God. That's right. All about you, to know you. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, you read it in Psalm 33 and verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, wonderfully, wonderfully made. Now, and remember now, and I mentioned it during the conference, I think, to remind you, the Scientific American, I don't know, they had a big thing on it, there are now not 125 billion, billion. That takes 32 years to count to a billion. 1, 2, 3, 4. Do you understand? 32 years to count to a billion. There were 125 billion galaxies, and they've upped it 75 to 200 billion galaxies. Galaxies, not stars. Galaxies. I don't know how they count them. I told you that. I have no idea. I think that's a job in itself. Don't you? To count the stars? I mean, to count a trillion, 1, 2, that takes you 32,000 years to count a trillion. 1, 2, to count 1 trillion, you see. And one of you gave me a point from Zimbabwe, you gave me a thing in Zimbabwe, and they showed their money holding up in the air, and they printed, we just need them here. $1 trillion bill. $1 trillion bill. You only need one, you only need 14 of them, you can pay the debt off. You see? $1 trillion bill. Think you're going to the bank and cashing that. You see? Wow. Now, in the light of that, and as you're looking at that, God who you are. Now, hold your finger here and go over with me, please, to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Genesis 1 and in verse 26. You will notice 26. And God said, God, Elohim, plural, let us, plural, make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, etc. Let us. Now, if you were saying, if you didn't know, there's God the Father and God the Spirit of God that was created. They created it. Created it. Spirit of God, Genesis 1, 2. In the beginning, Genesis 1, 1, God. Spirit of God, 1, 2. Wow. Created them. Everything. Everything was made by him. So you want to know, who's the us? God the Father, the Spirit of God, and God the Son. The Word become flesh. So you want to know who us is. Who's us? God the Father, God the Son, the Spirit of God. God made himself known. Now, back over to first, over, on your way. In fact, go a little bit further. Over to Colossians 1. Over to Colossians chapter 1. The Word became flesh, wonderfully so. And in Colossians, chapter 1, going directly, if I can, to verse 16. By him, verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. God the Father creates, the Spirit of God creates, and God the Son, the Word, became flesh, made it all, creator. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, so that you have no question, if you would, in your heart, over in And saying that, all things were created by him. Let me just do a little something that may be helpful in addition to that. Over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, oh, chapter 1. If nothing was made without him, then he is not included in everything. Thus, he is totally separate from all things that exist, that ever existed, ever will exist. He is separate from them. He is the creator. He began them. He made them happen. He is out here and made all things. And without him, nothing exists. Wow. Now, in the light of that, before God, that's interesting. Before any creation, God. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9, speaking directly, if I may, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus, God the Son, the Word become flesh. And there's a little word, what? Before the world began. When there was nothing, anywhere, anyhow, you existed in the heart and mind of God. Before anything. Isn't that neat? I could do it again. Titus. Titus. 1, 2. Titus right next door. Titus 1, 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised. When did you make that promise, God, to yourself? Before the world began. I did it. Let me do it again. You know it. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 10, you know. Ephesians 2, 10. That for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God purposed, planned, promised, which God hath before ordained, prepared, that we should walk in them. God, before anything ever was existing, you had us in mind. That's right. That's pretty good. Before anything. Before angels. Before all the angels. God, you had me in mind. So God, am I that stupid to say God doesn't even know and God doesn't care? I don't want to be that stupid. I don't want to be that religious that I lose it. No, sir. Now, back over if you would. Over in your Bible, John chapter 1, Gospel of John. Gospel of John chapter 1, and in the light of all of that, his word became flesh. Verse 4, in him, the word who became flesh, was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life. He exposed to us what life is. He exposed to us life and light, I should say. Light and life. He exposed us to them. Now, what do we know, God? What are you doing? You're exposing who you are. Now, how did you do that in the first place? In Genesis 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, God created light. Why did you create light? Because he is light. God, why did you give life to birds and bugs and trees and fish and humans? Why did you give them life? Because I am life. I took who I am and expressed myself in life and light so that you would understand. I'm always expressing myself, if you'd pay attention, to who I am. Now, in the light of that, and remember, light is the electromagnetic radiation of all different wavelengths, you know, making things capable of sensation. We have the sensation of vision because of light and the wavelengths and all the different wavelengths, you know. Light. You made light. Light. Light to see. Wow. To see. And what else? You made us life. Not only light, but life. And you gave life. To breathe, to make alive, to give existence to things, dear friends. Wow. That's life. To breathe, make it breathe. He breathed into it the breath of life. A breather. And animals, as long as they're alive. Trees, plants, flowers, as long as they're alive, they have a life. They're living things. And we have living organisms and molecular biology and all that stuff, you know, molecules and all of that. Light and life. We have all of it. Wonderfully so. He's the source of all light and life. So that we want to experience what? Light? Sunlight? Physical life, we have that. God is more than that. That's right. I made these things so that you could see and understand. I gave them to you. But it's more than that. It's about you, God. That's right. You have physical life. Animals have life. Bugs have life. Plants have life. God, you have life. It's about you. There's light so that we can see and understand. Without light, we'd be in deep, trouble without being able to have some kind of way to identify the world around us without light. And so, God, you are the source. Over in Hebrews 1 and in verse 3. Hebrews 1 and in verse 3. And you will know, please, verse 3, God has spoken in these last days by his Son, verse 2, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, verse 3, who, his Son, being made the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, the exact way. How can God, his God, expressing himself perfectly in his Son? That's why the Lord Jesus Christ said, I do nothing of myself. If I did anything of myself, I would lose the purpose of my existence. The purpose of my existence is to let God express himself. That's the purpose of humanity, to let God express it, let God express himself to angels good and bad, to let God have exposure by way of humanity. Thus, in verse 3, express image of his person, upholding all things, holding it, sustaining it, being in charge, holding all things, sustaining them, holding them, by the word of his power, dynamite. When he had by himself purged our sin, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, he holds everything together. He holds it. He makes it all work. All the laws, all the science, all atoms, all molecules, all of it comes together and God makes it all work. In your body, everywhere, all of it works. Thus in the process of that, dear friend, God is working and holding it all together. And you know when he doesn't do that. When you read in Revelation, you don't have to turn there. God is going to go, and when he isn't holding it together, it disappears. In that day, Revelation 20:11, God is going, might as well turn there. Revelation chapter 20, and in verse 11. Revelation 20:11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. They fly away, they dissolve, they disappear. And there is found no place for them. God, when you're done with something, it's gone. I hold them all together. The earth, the sun, moon, billions of galaxies, they're all held together. When I'm done, all gone. As long as I hold it together, you see. Wow. You don't have to worry about, green and trees and all that stuff. God isn't counting on trees. God's counting on a hot relationship of people. God isn't worried about ozone holes, a deodorant spray going up and blocking the sun. You don't have to worry. God isn't bothered at all. And we all, earth is bothered because they've lost God and made the trees God. The trees aren't God. God made the trees. Now, John 17. John 17, please. Now, life, I am. God exposes light and life so you can see it in creation. But don't want to stop there because it's so we can see God and know his life. Thus, you would understand John 17. And in verse 3, I'll even read verse 2 for a little context. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. To know you, God, is eternal life. You are life. That's right. You are life. You are life. It's a unique relationship. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They have a wonderful relationship as one essence, nature, being, and they are expressed in three ways. One. Now, God, you want us, what is eternal life then? It's to know you. It isn't to have a little bit of heart and the blood flowing. Is it more than that? It's all about you, God. It's about having a relationship to you. And remember the word relationship, the Latin word, relationship, to bear, to carry, to bring, to draw, to bring anything from one place to another, to relate something, to give back something. A relationship. You get something and you give it back. How do you know there's a relationship? Because you give it back. You give it back. That's how you know there's a relationship. In your physical body, don't you have all kinds of parts in there? Don't you? Kidneys? Some of you have lungs? What are the lungs for? The lungs are going. What are they doing? They're feeding in oxygen and taking out carbon dioxide, and they're feeding in. But my dear friends, they are related very much so to your body, because they're taking all the blood and nutrients from all the kidney and the liver and all of that stuff, and they're all working together. It's a relationship. If it's not that, then the lungs sit in a jar up here on the board, and there's nothing. They have no relationship. Lungs only have a relationship when they're in the body. A relationship means they are showing a relationship. They are giving to the body, and they're taking from the body. A relationship. That's what a relationship is. It involves showing, having a connection to something. So if you have God the Father has a direct connection to God the Son. God the Son has a direct connection to God the Father. God the Son and the Father. The Father and the Son. Father and Son. They're directly related. To know one is to know the other, because they're related. They show their relationship. Let us create man in our image and likeness. Let us do it. You see, a relationship. All of us created it all. All of us did, you see. Now, having said that, a unique, wonderful, personal relationship. And that's what relationship means. So eternal life is a unique relationship to God. God, you provide a relationship to you that you have. You give us a relationship. That's right. Now, there's all kinds of relationships, you know, and all kinds of life. And there are people that emphasize social life. And they have social life. And social life is very important to them. Most people are concerned more or less with physical life and the body. They're there, and they hope that you inside here, the body is helping you and you're helping it. Otherwise, you're pronounced dead. Dead. There's no relationship. There's only, when you're alive, there's a relationship between you and the body. When you're dead, you're gone. Body sits lifeless. Life. Life is a relationship. And people have social life. They have physical life. They have family life. They have societal life. Economic life. Work life. We work, relationship to work, back and forth. What you do at work and what the work does to you. And we have school life, married life, military life. All of these things are life to us. But very rarely, with all of those different words and more, very rarely do we understand that we have spiritual life, God's life. When we say spiritual life, what are you talking about? You're talking about God, wonderful God. God, I'm talking about you. That's right. I have a unique connection to you, God. I do. A unique connection. So that you give to me who you are, and all that you are, I give back to you. You see, you love me, and thus I love you. We love him because what? I love him. See, God gives me life, and then I express the life with thanksgiving. I honor the life. He gave it. I have a relationship, which is what life is. Life is a relationship. And if you don't, if you have a relationship, show it. Otherwise, you don't show life. His life. If you have His life, it's going to show up. Otherwise, we're just good old Protestants, Catholics, and churchgoers. Now having said that, and thus God, keeping in mind relationship, it's a relationship. It isn't something you do. I did my count. I spun my prayer wheel. I did my thing. I asked Jesus into my heart, and I'm done. You haven't even begun. You haven't even started. It's about life. And it isn't about heaven. You know, I'm going to get, you don't want to say, oh, you need to get saved so you can go to heaven. Forget that. God, that's true, but that don't do that, because then people say, well, I'm not ready to die yet, so I don't need to go to heaven yet, you see. It isn't about you going to heaven. Heaven is included. It's about you having a unique relationship to God. What is the main issue for all human beings on the face of the earth, almost 7 billion of them? What is the main need of every human being? It's L-I-F-E, life. Because they're all dead in trespasses and sin. They're separated from God. They have no relationship to God. No way to express God. Read a book, write a book, preach, do whatever you want. A relationship. You need a relationship. God help us to have that. That's eternal life. Eternal life is that unique relationship to God. Deuteronomy chapter 30, Old Testament, to see it. Deuteronomy, you know it. Deuteronomy chapter 30. It isn't anything new, it's just how God did it, to say it. And our relationship is made by thanksgiving. If you receive something, could you not say thank you for it? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm responding to something. Deuteronomy chapter 30, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. You're going to have to take a choice which way you're going to go here. Down to verse 18. I denounce you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whether thou passest over Jordan to go in to possess it. If you don't hear, verse 17, and your heart isn't honoring God. Verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record, testify this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. Choose life. Choose light as opposed to darkness. Verse 20, that thou mayest purpose, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave, be glued unto Him. Why? Why? For He is thy life and the length of thy days. That's why it's eternal life. It's a unique relationship to God. How long does God last? Forever. How long does your relationship last? It lasts as long as God. Called eternal life. Eternal relationship to God. Wow. That's what they were to have. They were to know that. And God suggested they, not suggested, He said, you better choose life. Otherwise, you're only going to know death. And you're never going to know the marvel of what life is. You have existence. So we don't talk about existence. In hell, you'll have existence. You won't have life. Life is something else. Life is God's. You'll remember in Colossians 3:3-4. Christ, our life is hid with Christ in God. Christ who is, verse 4, who is our life. He is our life. That's right. Christ is our life. Wow. Now, having said that, So keeping that in mind, you ought and I ought to look to God. God is the standard. So what is life? Social life, military life, physical life, sports life, work life, married life? Is that we all have those words. We do, and they're all right in where they are. But the trouble is they have usurped and taken the place of God's life. And we make any one of them, if my family life, if my married life, if my work life is sufficient, satisfied, then I don't need any other life. Because I'm happy with my life. That's because I made something other than God my life. I'm not looking for God to be my life. I'm looking for something here to be my life. That's the trouble. You see, it robs us. What is life? Say, social life, married life? No. The life has to do with you, God. And since you're the standard of life, that you're the standard, in order to have rightness, we have to have life to have rightness. And God, we can't do that without you. You're the standard. But God, we can't measure up to the standard. We aren't qualified to be you. That's correct. You can't be me, said God. But I can give you who I am. How so? In my son, I can give you who I am. And in him, see, he became a man and dwelt among you and died and made it possible for your humanity, because of his humanity and his deity, he takes your humanity in his humanity, and he takes my deity in his person, the God-man. And when I receive his saving work, he makes possible for me, for you and I, to have life. Whose life? Yours, God. Life, that's right. I've come that they might have life, and they might have it what? More abundantly. Super life. And when you get hung up on earthly life, and you lose heavenly life, what it's all about, then you're in trouble, because you're depending on how the society goes, how work goes, how marriage goes. There goes your life. How school goes, how your friends go. Then you don't have any life. It's all down the tubes. You got to go find some other way to do it. No, God gave you something that is absolutely not discouraging, not disappointing. And in fact, it very, very much is going to help you so that you can handle all the things that are up and down, off and on. So we don't want to use God. You're the standard in the life. No one has your life, God. No one can know your life. And we use it as an excuse to not trust you. God, you never said that you gave us, we've done this, you know, be ye holy for what? Be ye perfect, the end of Matthew 5, be ye perfect for I am perfect. How could you say those things? Because in you, you're calculating without me. I never created you to leave me out of the picture. I happen to be an essential ingredient in your existence. And when I'm there, then holiness, nothing to it. Be ye holy for I am holy. When I'm there, you have life, perfect life. Perfect righteousness. You have it. You calculate with me when you do your equations. Don't disconnect. Thus, dear friend, a unique and wonderful relationship, and there is no other standard. God doesn't have another standard. God, how about another way to do it? No, there is no other way. No other way? No other person? There's only one life. Life is in God. God has the life. He's the only God and creator. He gives you a relationship to him. That by his son, that is called eternal life. And that eternal life is a unique relationship in the person of Jesus Christ, who is our life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the only way. Thus, over if you would, please, in the light of that, the standard, God the standard. God's the standard. The quality of life that God looks for is his own. God wants to see his own life. The value of life. It's valued. How much do you value your life? Social life. But no. My life with you, God, is absolutely essential. And I value it above all else, my relationship to you. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. It's a unique, wonderful relationship. God gives himself to you, and you allow God's working in your life, and you give yourself back to God. We work out our own salvation with what? Fear and trembling, for it is God, verse 13, who does it. So, God, you do it here, we do it back to you, and it's a wonderful relationship. Relationship, working out that which you do within. And God, it's called the relationship. It's called the relationship, a living relationship. That's right. Over in Philippians, if I can, chapter 1. Get the idea? Philippians 1. Paul will say, Paul, did you have this? He said, I did. I do. God did it to me. On the Damascus Road, I got saved. I was dead in trespasses and sin, and I got saved. On that road, I was going up to persecute and kill Christians. God saved me. Now, what do you know, Paul? You had Jewish life. You had Pharisaical life. You had all of that. Yeah, I did. Did you have great social life? I was at the top of the pile, socialite. I was it. I had money. Money is rich. It's a Roman citizen. And he had wealth to boot. Family was wealthy. Wow. Boy, he had a lot going for him. What did he say? Do you remember what he said in Philippians? I counted all as what? A dung. Dung isn't so good. Do you know? Do you understand? Dung isn't good. God said, everything I have in the light of you, God, is dung. Waste. Thus, Philippians 1:21. For me to live is what? Christ, and to die is gain at great advantage. God, the reason I'm here is to enjoy your wonderful person, to experience your wonderful person, to know your wonderful person. Philippians chapter 3. In verse 10, 3 and 10, his desire, what was he in pursuit of? The exercise of life. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. I'm looking. God, the outworking, the relationship. The relationship is outworking itself. 3 and 10 in Philippians, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I may have this wonderful relationship. God, I want to know you. And that's the whole purpose of the relationship, to know God. To honor God, to fear God, to reverence God, to respect God. Wow. And thus, you're going to have what? Verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. God, I can't do it. I can't perform it. I can't make it happen. I don't have any life. And you never asked me to produce it. You asked me to receive it, to receive who you are and your saving grace so that I could have life. That's what you asked. You didn't ask for my works. You didn't ask for me to earn something or do it. No, it's something you give to me, something you wonderfully, wonderfully give to me, God. Thank you. John, would you help us as we close? John, would you put this together again for us. Over to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. God, it's a relationship to you because of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, 1 John 5. Now, picking up, please. On verse 12, you know, he that hath the Son hath life. Christ is your life. Without Christ, you have no life. Therefore, if you have Christ, you must have life. You can't have life without his Son. Thus, obviously, verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And thus, God, we either have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we have a relationship to you that is valid, right, and real. And I need to exercise that relationship. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All the parts of your body are relating to each other. That's why you're alive. God, I want to be alive in a different way. I want a life, this is terminal, my physical life. But my relationship to you is eternal, God. Verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. What is that? That we may know, K-N-O-W, just like in verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and may believe on the name of the Son of God, so there's no guessing at this. Verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given unto us an understanding, so that we aren't guessing at something, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, the Word become flesh. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ, this one is the true God and eternal life. He is. So. Wow. God, that's what it's all about. It's all about life. All about you, God. Isn't about anything else. You can sit right down now and die. But you can't die. Why? Because I've made it possible by my Son to have a unique relationship to who I am. And in your presence, God, I can never leave your presence. No. I'm to exercise your presence and experience it. And you know what? You'll always experience it. Because eternal life has no interruptions. No disconnect. No gap. For me to live is Christ, and to die is my advantage. Our Father and God, we thank you. Thank you very much. God, help us. We want to understand. It's a wonderful thing, God, that you've done, who you are. God, we get all messed up and lose who you are and what it's all about. We get religious and lose the rightness, our God. We get all caught up in relationships that lose our relationship to you. And you have told us in the midst of it all, in everything give thanks, because it's your will to rejoice in your wonderful person, not in ourselves or in our conditions or our circumstance, but in the fact that you are you, forever and always you, God, to rejoice always, to pray and exercise our relationship to you without interruption. No interruptions, God. Thank you. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, deal with them that they might not have a relationship that is lifeless, but God, that they might have a living relationship that requires you, your life. You are life. And you would be our life. You make it possible for in this life for us to have your life. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.